Caleb laughed again, and this time Charlene discovered she had no choice but to join him. Her pulse was decelerating towards normal once more, and she shook her head as the tunnel stretched on and on ahead of them. They were moving slowly enough now for her to see that the stone walls around them were smooth and polished, almost like mirrors, reflecting the impossibly bright glow of the endless line of overhead lights running down the center of its curved roof. There was room enough for at least half a dozen craft the skimmer's size to have passed through it abreast, and she found herself feeling very small, almost tiny, as they drifted onward through it. "How far down does this go?" she asked. "Well, the cave is underneath Mount Olympus," Merlin told her. "At the moment, we're still about 2 miles from the mountain itself, coming in from the north. And when we get there, we'll be just over 12,000 meters. That's about 7.5 miles down."
7.5 miles,
Charlene repeated very carefully, and Merlin chuckled. There wasn't a good deal of genuine humor in the sound, she noticed, and wondered why.
"Well, that's 7.5 miles below the summit, not below sea level," he pointed out, before a reason for the pain shadowing his chuckle had occurred to her. "Still, I suppose it's deep enough to be going on with."
She sensed his shrug. "Commodore Pei and Shan Wei wanted to make certain no one would stumble across me before I woke up." Charlene started to respond, then stopped herself as she suddenly grasped the reason for the pain in his voice. It was hard for her to remember, sometimes, that people who had been dead for the better part of a millennium, as far as she was concerned, had died only a handful of years ago, as far as the man who had once been Nimue Alban was concerned. "Anyway," Merlin went on after a moment, his tone deliberately brighter, "after they tucked me away, they filled the entire complex with an inert atmosphere, which means there wasn't really anything down here that a flesh-and-blood human being could have breathed. But Al's got the environmental plant up and running, so there's going to be plenty of air when we get there."
"Well, that's a relief," Charlene said dryly, wondering exactly what an inert atmosphere was.
"We strive to please, Your Majesty," Merlin assured her. "And speaking of getting there..."
Even as he spoke, the recon skimmer slid out of the tunnel into a far vaster chamber, and Charlene inhaled sharply as still more overhead lights came on, illuminating a stupendous cavern shaped like a flattened hemisphere. Its walls curved up and inward, smooth as the tunnel had been, to join an equally smooth, flat roof a good 200 feet overhead. Yet, tall as it was much, much wider, and as the skimmer drifted out into it, she realized its vast, pavement-flat floor was crowded with dozens of devices and machines which looked at least as marvelous as the recon skimmer itself. The skimmer slid smoothly onward for another few moments, then floated smoothly into a landing beside a duplicate skimmer, nestled in the lee of another, far larger aircraft of some sort. They touched down under the sweep of an enormous wing that dwarfed their own vehicle. And as Charlene stared up at the chamber's roof, she realized the cavern was at least 1,000 yards across.
"My God," she heard herself murmur.
"What is that thing, Merlin?" Caleb asked over the comm, and she heard the wonder in his voice as well.
"Which thing?" Merlin asked.
"The one you just landed next to."
"Oh," Merlin shrugged. "That's what we call an assault shuttle," he said. "Think of it as one of the landing craft we took to Coruscant, but designed to move troops from orbit down to a planetary surface."
"How many troops?"
Caleb's voice was suddenly more intent, more calculating, and Merlin's and Charlene's images looked at one another with matching smiles as the Emperor's military instincts engaged.
"Only a couple of hundred," Merlin replied in a deliberately casual tone.
Only a couple of hundred, is it? Caleb repeated dryly. More or less, Merlin agreed, and Charlian straightened as the skimmer's twin canopies opened. Cool air, fresh-smelling but with just a whisper of a stone-edged tang, flowed about her, and Merlin climbed out onto the self-extending boarding ladder and held out a hand to her. She took the hand and let him guide her down the ladder, though she was scarcely so old and feeble, or pregnant, that she needed the assistance. On the other hand, she realized, maybe she did need a little help. She was so busy gawking at all of the wonders around her that she didn't realize she'd reached the bottom of the ladder until her questing toes jarred against solid ground instead of finding the next rung, and she stumbled on the brink of falling until that hand lifted her effortlessly back upright. She gave herself a then smiled at Merlin.
"I'm impressed," she said.
"Oh, you haven't seen anything yet," he assured her.